Great. Welcome to Self-Care Before Sips, 10-week transformational course. We are in week 9, so we are coming to a close. So this is exciting to hear everyone's progress and how everyone's evolving. And so let's go ahead and start with our successes. Yvonne, would you like to share?
Sure. I will share. This week I found myself doing that little negative dance, looking at a lot of, oh, I didn't get the exercise in I wanted to, and I'm not quite where I want to be, and that whole thing. And I caught myself, and I said, stop, and just kind of did the flip of it and said, look at all the changes that have occurred since we started this program. You know, mindful eating and decluttering and, you know, just doing the flip side of that, and felt a whole lot better.
Oh, doesn't it, though?
So I was just really happy that I was able to notice that, catch it, and then just, you know, I'm sure everybody has things that they would want to be better, so I just focused on the things that I've accomplished.
And as a, just in general, as a human being, you always want more.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever totally been completely satisfied 100%, you know, with a lot of things in life? Usually we get to that point like, wow, and then you kind of want to want more. So mm-hmm. I think it's great that you're like, oh, wait a minute, let's look at what we accomplished and look at those feelings. Fantastic. Kim sent her accomplishments, her successes, emailed them to me because she wasn't going to be able to be on the call, and she wrote down a couple of successes I've had, a better outlook all week because I've been affirming myself and looking for the good. I have been looking for those toned areas underneath my soft skin and kept telling myself they will show up soon. I know they will eventually. I also gave myself permission to enjoy a serving size of M&Ms after having a skinless grilled chicken leg. Both were satisfying. I followed the rules he suggested. I must be hungry and have the candy with a protein. And I found I wasn't a slave to the candy and was able to stop. I was not hungry, and I was satisfied. In fact, I ended up eating half the M&M package and was able to enjoy the rest at a later time. Wow. I was very happy with myself. I can do it. So that's what Kim shared with her. One thing I want to say for all that are listening to the audio, the recording, when Kim wrote down, I have been looking for those toned areas underneath my skin and keep telling myself they will show up soon. Looking at the positive of the vibration of energy and where your words are taking, soon will mean sometime, but never right now. So I would say in there, you have toned muscles underneath that soft skin right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to, you know, do move if you didn't have muscle there. So it's there. So just keep telling yourself that it is there and that it is developing more and becoming more defined. I would key in those different wordings, but it's important. Also, Kim says, I know they will eventually, meaning that the toned areas will come up eventually. Eventually, again, is a future thing. Eventually might be a year from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. So I would kind of let that thought go and say, I do have toned muscles underneath this soft skin, and they are continuing to develop and form and surface. Okay? And just leave it at that. Not soon, eventually, but just leave it as is. Because you already do have muscle there. If you didn't, you wouldn't be able to, you know, if you didn't have any abdominal muscles or chest muscles or core muscles or anything, you would be flopping over from side to side or forward or backwards. You wouldn't be able to sit up if you didn't have it. You already have it. It's just a matter of it evolving. Okay, so I just want to make those side little notes. Let's see here. Okay. I think that was it. I just got a few emails I just want to look over. Okay. That is it. Okay. So this week I kind of want to dip into more of how stress relates to abdominal weight or just how the body falls is prey to more fat with the thought of stress coming into the body. So one thing I think is important is you need to acknowledge that there is stress in one's life and acknowledge its existence. That's step number one. And step number two is actually developing a coping mechanism, and that is what we've been working on is power of thoughts. And just as Yvonne said, she kind of went down that road of, you know, the negative thinking of what she's not accomplishing, and that will create stress. You're like, oh, I'm not doing it as much. It creates anxiety. And she was able to recognize that, stop herself, and choose a different road to go down that was more positive. So she's already developing the coping mechanism. And then looking at what, and continuing to look at what needs to be acknowledged. But first and foremost is to acknowledge that there is stress in one's life. And what I like to talk about is the function of the adrenal glands with stress, because the adrenal glands are the glands that handle stress. And they produce a variety of hormones to help you deal with things physically, emotionally, and mentally. And they help your body maintain balance. So adrenal functions, the adrenals are no bigger than a walnut, and they're located by your kidneys. And these powerful little tiny endocrine glands manufacture and secrete hormones such as cortisol, estrogen, and testosterone. Okay? So you may have heard a lot in the media about cortisol. You might have seen a lot of the commercials around cortisol supplements and all of that. But just to let you know, the adrenal glands do secrete that cortisol hormone. Signs and symptoms of the adrenal stress is, here they go, difficulty getting up in the morning. That could lead to, you know, chronic fatigue. Fatigue not relieved by sleep. Again, chronic fatigue. Craving salty food. Lightheaded when you stand. Decreased ability to handle stress. Things just become pile up, overwhelming. Is this one thing after another, and you just kind of get going maybe in a depression? Possibly. Which depression is a sign, symptom of adrenal stress. Also increased PMS. Thoughts less focused. Might not be because you're hungry, but just the overall stress. You just can't focus and concentrate. Symptoms increase if meals are skipped. And you don't really wake up until about 10 a.m. in the morning. Afternoon, you have that lull, 3 to 4. Which is kind of common, but a real lull that you're just really exhausted. And the second wind after 6 p.m. and supper. And another symptom of adrenal stress is low blood pressure. So those are just some common ones. People with adrenal fatigue tend to overeat in effort to increase their energy. That's kind of where we get into that self-medication of quick sugar foods. I just need something to get me out of this little rut, to wake me up. I think maybe I'll go for another cup of coffee, put a little extra sugar, a little extra cream in it, or, you know, I think I'll go grab a candy bar out of the can machine, or maybe I'll grab a Mountain Dew, or something like that, that quick energy, that self-medication. And it will temporary increases in cortisol levels cause people with chronically low cortisol to put on weight because extra cortisol causes fat to be deposited around the middle. So the temporary increases of the cortisol will cause excess fat around the middle if you're chronically low in that hormone. So how does it work? So we have kind of the flight or fight syndrome, you know, back in the day when you maybe saw the big grizzly bear or the saber-toothed tiger, you either stood and fought or you flew. And the adrenaline, the hormones producing to give you the energy to fight or to flight response, and you used it. You ran or you fought. You used up that extra adrenaline that was pumping through the body, the extra cortisol that was pumping through the body. to give you the energy in the muscle and the stamina to do whichever response was most appropriate for you. But in this day and age, that is not the case. I mean, when we get stressed, we might just be sitting in front of our computer and get an email that totally puts us in a tither, so to speak, or gives us a unexpected something unexpected to come that we have to immediately grab our attention to, or wasn't planning on it, or needed an immediate response. And, but we're sitting. Or if you're in business and, let's say, a customer comes in and is not happy or and is just totally upset about something, and that causes a little bit of stress for you, but you're just standing there, you know, helping that customer out, but you're not moving. Or if you are in direct sales, and you got this huge party all lined up and ready to go, you got all your product ready, and you're going for it, and all of a sudden the host, the person that's putting on the party, calls and says, I'm sick, I'm going to cancel, got to reschedule, or I don't know when I'm going to reschedule, and then all of a sudden, boom, you have all this extra product, you have everything ready to go, you are set to, you know, maybe meet your quota for the month, and boom, it's gone. And then what are you doing? You're getting kind of stressed out, wondering what to do next, but you're sitting. You're not moving. And so that's what happens a lot in today's day and age, is that when we are under a lot of stress, there isn't a chance to fight or run to use up all the excess hormones that are being secreted into the body to convert and help you deal with the stress. So the stress or fear produces an increased hormone of cortisol. This then will increase your blood glucose. It's pumping sugar more into the blood. Blood glucose, the sugar in the blood, increases, which then will increase your insulin level. And here is where you can either fight or flight, run. But we typically don't do that in this day and age in the sedentary. So what happens to that extra insulin? It is converted to fat. And where does that convert? It converts in the abdominal area because that is protection of your organs. That's where a majority of your organs are. So it's those vital organs that keep you alive, and that is why there is that it chooses to go there. It's all in the essence to keep you alive. But you're kind of thinking, I'm just fine if I don't get that hostess call. Just don't go in my stomach area or make that party, you might say, or it's not nearly as bad. So just to show the sequence of how that all works and what has happened in the past, you know, back in caveman days and frontier days, they moved. You know, they moved the body, and they were working that cortisol and blood glucose and that insulin through the body. But when we're sitting there in the stress and anxiety and fear is all building up, there's nowhere for it to go. So it'll convert to fat. So one of the, so kind of to share the, there's four stages of adrenal exhaustion. And stages one and two is just kind of the beginnings of the symptoms that I mentioned earlier, and they can be reversible, and you can know if you have adrenal exhaustion with a simple saliva test. And you can go to your pharmacist probably to do that, or maybe a physician. You even can get saliva kits mailed to you to kind of check that, I believe. So there's, you know, it's easy to get that thing, get it tested. Stage three is, you know, you just need to make some lifestyle changes. And when I have clients that are in the stage three, that's kind of a hard thing to do. Just in my experience, not necessarily to mean everybody, but in my experience, is entrepreneurs that are very driven, type A personality, and very driven to really make their business succeed. And what happens is when you start to make lifestyle changes, everything we've talked about, taking care of yourself, taking time for yourself, meeting your own needs, seeing what your personal needs are, that is really hard, I have found through my own experience, not just everyone, for, as an example, an entrepreneurial type A personality-driven woman to stop and do that until she is in her probably mid-40s and sees the exhaustion level and realizes that her health is in jeopardy, then she will. So if you're listening and you're in your 30s, late 20s, this is a great time for you to take action so that you are healthy and not struggling through your 40s and 50s and 60s as much and really taking care of yourself. Because stage 4 is where the adrenals are no longer functioning and medication is required. This is excess body fat, bags under your eyes, exhaustion with workouts, and low immune system. And I did have a client that was put in the hospital over all of this. She flew all the time from one coast to the other. She, you know, in the airplanes, are you never know what kind of bugs are flying, so she was always prone to colds all the time. She worked long hours. She was a single mom. She was partner in a business. She also owned her own dog kennel. She was constantly going. She did not have time for herself. She was trying to lose weight, trying to make time for exercise until we took steps back into the self-care. Once we started taking steps to the self-care, but it took her being in the hospital, laying in her bed, and having, you know, other people take care of things for her while she got well, that she finally said enough is enough and was able to pull out of it. But it took that to get her to stop. So I'm hoping people that are listening and are kind of can relate to some of this, not to go that far and start taking care for yourself. Because it's just lifestyle changes, some simple lifestyle changes within yourself can make a big difference in your overall health in the long run. So that is what I wanted to share with you on the adrenal exhaustion phase. Some of the things you can do when you are in that moment, you feel the stress, the anxiety, the fear building up inside you, is you could do some breathing techniques. And one, which is a breathing technique that I like to use that was shared with me by another personal trainer. He calls it the Valium Breath, which I think is a cute name, so I don't want to take that from him, but he shared that with me, and I use that and share that with everyone. But that's a 3-1-6 sequence. And what I mean by this Valium Breath being a 3-1-6 sequence is you take a nice long breath in for 3 seconds, hold for 1 second, and exhale out for 6 seconds. So what happens through that is you're able to, gives you time to change your thought, so you're not dwelling on what's happening, but giving you a chance to just change the thought, which hopefully will change the feeling. And your action is just some deep breathing. It also calms the body down. It slows down the production of cortisol, glucose, and insulin, because the more quicker you can calm yourself back down, the less of that the adrenals will pump up, secrete those hormones out. An example would be, a quick example that I can give that I surely notice it, is driving a car and all of a sudden there's a deer that jumps in front of my car. I can literally feel the cortisol, all this stuff secreting into my body. And I can't explain it, but I can just feel I feel a little flush, I feel my heart rate going up, but I also, in the core area of my body, I can just feel something is going on there and realizing that it's probably the cortisol, the glucose, the insulin, and all of that. Some type of, I don't know if I want to call it liquid, that's my imagination talking, but something is being produced. And as soon as I stop and take some slow breaths and calm myself down, I'm okay. And then I can feel that stop, the production stopping of what is going on. And this is my initial thoughts of what I think is going on, is that my adrenals are insulin kicking out the cortisol, the glucose, and the insulin as soon as I see that deer pull right out in front of my vehicle. But just by taking some breaths, slowing my breath down, calming myself, and just saying, okay, nope, we're just fine. We didn't hit the deer. It was able to make it across. We're doing just so fine. We're still on the road. We can still go. And just start changing my thoughts of what I can do. What's the positive? What's going on that's working for me? And that is one way to, as an example, to share of what's going on with the stress and fear and causing that adrenals to pump out to secrete those hormones. Okay. Also then with the breathing techniques, that would be one way to go for a walk. If you are in front of your computer and you feel that coming on, go for a walk. Move. Allow the blood glucose and the insulin and all of that to secrete through the body and excrete through your movements rather than just sitting there and letting it pile up and convert to fat. So those would be two options that you could do. Taking a 20-minute walk, 10-20-minute walk, would be something you can do. And also food for thought. I have a slide here, the slide number 6, page number 2, if you have a PDF file, is if we consider that the body has a fourfold to the tenfold organ reserved for each organ, then we can suggest that in times of stress, the body may need 4 to 10 times the normal nutrient intake just to keep even with the stress. And this was a study done in the Digestive Chiropractic Economy, I think it's called. Anyways, just food for thought is if you have that amount of stress going through the body and it's needing that much nutrients and energy to fight or flight, just realize that's what's going on when you're just sitting there. Not that you need to eat 10 times the normal nutrient intake, but I also want to just say just to get up and do a simple walk, simple breathing technique, something in that essence. Okay? Let's see what else. Oh, a couple of abdominal exercises I will share with you that I do like. Wait a minute. I want to take a step back here. I'm looking at my notes. The 5 most common stressors other than the adrenal stress I wanted to share with you, especially for women that just are exercising, feeling they're eating right, and nothing, that weight is not budging. The clothes aren't changing. You have been doing this for 6 months. Things aren't moving along. I want to share some other common stressors. One that a lot of people are completely unaware of is scars. And that would be of old injuries, surgeries, surfaces of the body, C-sections, episiotomies, anything like that, because what that does is blocks the nerve, interference with the nerve transmission, asking for that muscle to contract. So that is something that I think is something I would like to mention. Not that that's relevant for absolutely every person, but just to be aware of that and that's something you can look into. Also, a major food allergy is another common stressor. If you're allergic to dairy or wheat, nuts, eggs, whatever it may be, then the body isn't, again, able to digest the foods or it's kind of a poison to the body. And I've worked with a few women that it seems to be increasing each year, that we are doing mindful eating, we're doing exercising, they're getting some results, but they're like, wow, what's going on? And then we say, well, let's look at food allergies, and they go and get that tested. And if they're allergic to wheat and they stop the wheat, they usually will drop the weight, some rather fast, some gradual. But then there's symptoms of bloatedness, just having an icky stomach feeling all the time that they thought just was something that they had, sleeping better, if they kind of wake up in the middle of the night not getting really good night's sleep, so whatever it may be, the symptoms of that particular food allergy, that goes away. and the weight gradually will come off or quite suddenly. It's not the same for every person. But food allergies would be another one to look into. Also, your immune challenges, bacterial, viral, yeast, fungal, and parasitic, and those you would probably need to speak to a doctor or a naturopathic physician to get that checked out and see what the symptoms are there and see if they match. A couple other ones is heavy metal toxicity and chemical toxicity. So I just wanted to bring those up and mention them. Not that I want you to use them as an excuse, oh, I must have this or I must have that, because you don't want to play that story in your head. But the bottom line, if you're wondering, then get it checked out and see. Especially the food allergies is a common one that can be an easy blood test and can check and see with that. The scars, also you could check and see what if that might have interference fields that are blocking the abnormal electronic signals to the body, and specifically the core area. So an example would be when I talk about nerve pathways contracting the muscles to move, let's just say you take your right arm to the side and you just lift it up shoulder height. That's all. You ask the body to do this. The thought was, let's just raise the arm up. It's a millisecond of a thought, and what happens is the thought goes to the brain, and then all of a sudden it's causing the nerves to go to those muscles, to ask those muscles to do, to raise the arm up. Okay, what that took was two nerve pathways to do that, to raise from your arm down to your side to shoulder height. Now, when it comes to the abdominal area, specifically more the transverse abdominals, which is the deeper muscles that only are statistically used 20% of its possible contraction in use, it takes 9 pathways to go in there and contract that muscle. So if you have any scarring, scar tissue, episiotomy, C-section, if you've had surgeries before, you may have some blockage in that nerve pathway. So you can ask your doctor. And I don't know if I would look at asking doctors that are more into looking at the natural ways of healing too, because they might, you know, some doctors, like some women have told me, doctors say, well, you just got to live with it. And I don't think you necessarily have to. I think there are ways to work around that. And at the top of my head, I'm sorry for not having this but there is an ointment that you can put on those scars that helps with that electronic field and that nerve pathway. And I don't have that on top of my head, but next week I'll bring that up. That can help you with that area there. So one of the exercises I wanted to focus on today was, when you are doing abdominal exercises, what I think is most important is work the transverse abdominals first. And then that, I think, I know. In the sequence of abdominal exercises, you work the transverse abdominal muscles first, which are the deeper muscles that kind of are like a corset, if you can imagine a corset that wrap around you from one side to the other. Those are the deeper. Then above those are the obliques. So those are the crisscross type abdominal exercises where you might be used to bringing a shoulder to a knee to a shoulder. If you're in plank position and you bring your one knee, your right knee to your left shoulder would be one way to do a more oblique work. But you want to do your oblique work. And then the last exercise you should do is a regular crunch if you enjoy doing the regular crunches. But typically everyone goes right into those regular abdominal crunches to work the rectus abdominis, which is that six-pack area that you see maybe on commercials and stuff, and that should be one of the last areas to do. So to work the transverse abdominals, those deeper muscles, what I have women do is you're going to go and take your navel and go ahead and bring it in all the way in as far as you can towards your spine. And then you're going to imagine that you have a little scoop, and you're going to imagine scooping up that navel towards your heart. So it's all the way in with a slight scoop up towards the heart. Okay? And you're going to take You're going to hold that. Right there, you're going to do a Kegel exercise. And after the Kegel, you hold the Kegel, then you hold the sphincter muscle. And that is an anal hole where you're going to do have your bowel movements and everything if you tighten that up. And what the Kegel, the sphincter, and the navel all in, it lifts that whole entire pelvic floor up. And that alone right there has contraction of those deep transverse abdominal muscles. And so when you take a breath in, you're going to use the yoga breath. You're going to breathe in through the nose and exhale. And you can exhale through the mouth. And what I do, what I have learned and have been teaching, is that when you exhale through the mouth, do the sound of the S. So when I'm in the health club and I'm doing this, I know I kind of sound ridiculous doing the S sound, but I don't care because I really want to work that area because that's the deepest core. And if I work those deeper muscles, that's when I notice my abdominal area is getting more to me personally, how my body responds, more toned. So you're going to take the navel in, do a Kegel, tighten the sphincter muscle, take a breath in, and then exhale. And you can place your fingers right on the sides of your belly button and feel that contraction. And there you want to try this for about 2 minutes. And then work on your obliques. Do your favorite obliques, whichever ones you like. And then do your regular crunches if you like. I prefer to do them on the ball. But if you'd like to do them on the floor, go ahead or whatever's convenient for you. But you will notice that you'll be much more fatigued doing the other abdominal muscles, more so after you work these transverse abdominal muscles. And statistically, and when I've gone to seminars and listened to some other people speak on this particular exercise, they will say you can lose an inch off the waist with just that transverse exercise if you do it on a daily basis. I do not do that on a daily basis, and I did not lose an inch in the first month, but I was pretty regular with it, and I'd say it took me about 3 months after my miscarriage to drop that down. So that was one thing just to kind of point out that, you know, if you do it daily, you might get there, but just to do it alone, you eventually will, and to work that core area, okay, abdominal area. So, any questions so far? Okay. So now what the rest of the class I had asked for was for the participants to come up with a couple of questions that they have so we can go over them and talk about them, because last week we talked really in depth a lot about the spiritual aspect of putting the body, mind, and spirit together, and just again on the power of thoughts and the self-nurturing. And so I wanted to make sure that we had time to talk about that or answer any questions that have come up over the last 10 weeks. So, Yvonne, did you come up with any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple. And
okay.
Actually, from the last PDF that you just sent out, around intuitive eating.
Okay.
On one of them it says excess of 2,500 calories equals 1 pound gained, but you need to expand 3,500 calories to lose it. Is that a typo or is that...
That might be a typo. I'm trying to open my copy here.
They should be the same, right?
Yep. Let's see.
Okay.
I'll have to look at that.
So I thought, well, that's cruel. You have
Was it under the emotional eating?
Intuitive eating is
okay. Let me look at that one.
And it's under the daily nutrient requirements. Right before the food pyramid.
I believe that's a typo.
Okay, good.
It should be, because you have to have your basal metabolic rate above that as well, and the calorie consumption. Nope, I believe that's a typo.
Okay.
I will double check that and look at my records.
Okay. And then the other question is just really trying to understand, I'm trying to understand complex versus simple carbohydrate, and I was looking at the food groups list. And I always kind of get thrown for a loop as to what is how do they work differently, first of all, between a simple and a complex? Does a complex simply take longer for your body to break down, therefore?
Mm-hmm. It's more fiber-rich.
Okay.
Foods in there, and the fiber alone will slow down the breakdown.
Okay. And then you've got boiled potatoes as a complex and baked potatoes as a simple. Why is that?
Let's look here. Those are instant potatoes.
Okay. But so it's not just a regular baked?
Nope, those are instant potatoes.
Okay, all right. And certain fruits look like they're simple and others are complex. Is that because?
That's the fiber.
Less fiber? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it's just a breakdown. Raisins and melons, they're more liquid. The melons are more liquidy. It'll just break down a lot faster in the body.
Okay, so it enters your...
The apple is more fiber-rich, as well as the citrus. And it's a matter of how the body breaks those particular fruits down, if they're simple or complex.
And then, like, milk and yogurt are more carbohydrate than they are protein? I don't know, for somewhere along the line, I used to think they were in the protein category.
And I would look at your sugar content of those, but... When I suggest protein, and it's hard for people to put snacks together, I will go ahead and say try a yogurt, because the protein, the amount of grams in a yogurt, protein grams in a yogurt, there is protein in yogurt.
Okay.
that way. Okay. And milk as well. Like a graham cracker and a glass of milk.
Mm-hmm.
Another simple snack, but it does have... some protein to it.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nope, that was it.
Alrighty. Just asking, Missy, are you on the call by chance?
Yep.
Oh, hey, Missy. I didn't hear you
pipe
in. One thing I wanted to... I asked Missy to come on the call because I wanted to, since we're at 9 weeks... I wanted to share that everyone is open to, if they're interested in one-on-one coaching afterwards, that is an option, and I do give a discount for everyone that participates in the live course, that they have a discount for the one-on-one. And I asked Missy to come online to share her experience with the one-on-one coaching after doing the course, because she did the course last fall, and then decided she wanted one-on-one coaching. So I thought I'd just ask Missy to share what her struggles were, what she found, what the one-on-one coaching helped benefit her with, and what's been going on right now and as a result of one-on-one coaching. So, Missy, do you mind sharing?
Sure. You know me. I am one of those with the wheat intolerance that Amy was able to figure out and push me. I kind of knew it early on and wasn't doing anything about it, so that was my first assignment, was to cut that out altogether, and that alone has made huge, huge strides, although I'm struggling with it because I don't like that information. And Amy's just a great coach to, like you may have heard or on this program, you know, she kind of pushes you, but there's no right or wrong. It's all kind of on your own timing and your own comfort level and stuff like that, which I think is great. Because I don't really want someone cracking the whip, but I want to kind of make it my idea, and Amy's really good with that. And it delves a lot deeper. The self-care before sit-ups really pointed out a lot of issues that I was having and struggles with different things. And so it was a natural progression for me to do more one-on-one, because I'm not afraid of talking or asking questions. So I was afraid I was going to monopolize the call sometimes because I would be asking so many questions, and so this way I can get one-on-one feedback on how my – and what I think, you know, if I think I've had a great week, she sees a different perspective sometimes to say, well, why this or why that, or I never realized I don't know if you guys have talked about the emotional eating stuff yet. I would assume so. That my I eat when I'm happy, and I didn't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't eat when I'm sad or mad as much, and have a lot of my eating issues tied in with having fun, because being the Scandinavian North American person, you know, you got to eat and drink with everything that you do and everywhere you go and all your guests and all that kind of stuff. So I'm still struggling with that and trying to figure out what else to do if you don't eat or drink when you get together with people. So, but I'm sure Amy's going to have a lot of great ideas for me.
Right? Moderation.
All in moderation. No, it's all or nothing. Talk about the 40-year-old adrenal exhaustion, and that's me to a T. It was a good reminder of I'm not quite as bad as I was, but I'm still right on up there. And I'm not in the hospital yet, so that's a good sign.
Well, and I have to share, Missy took a day off from work for the first time for herself, and I don't know, have you ever done
that?
Ever.
No.
So that was a big step for Missy.
Yeah.
And she loved it.
Must
I shouldn't
work.
Put words in your mouth, but how was that for you?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I am just kind of a driver, kind of person that is always working and doing, and I've got four kids and very busy household, very busy job, very busy everything. So I don't sit still very much. And I didn't sit still that day, but I got the things done that bothered me rather than the things that bother someone else or that someone else wanted me to do or whatnot. So,
you kind of reduced the toleration list.
Yeah, and it was part of the clutter thing. It was something that has been on my to-do list. I varnished cupboards all day, but which is kind of therapeutic, and nobody talks back, and I was by myself and could sing out loud and stuff. But, you know, I wasn't sitting still or expecting, you know, I still don't sit still very much, but it was doing something that was important to me, I guess. And so my goal is to take a day off every month and do something that I want to do or something that benefits me. So I tend to be the ultimate caretaker of everybody else at work and at home, so I always get the bottom of the barrel, but no longer.
Good
with Amy's help and guidance, I'm going to move up that ladder.
Cool. So I just wanted to have Missy share her story with you, because she made some wonderful realizations and some progresses through self-care before the 10-week transformation course. But when she got on the one-on-one and could really have that individualized attention, she continues to make strides and flies through a lot of things. We'll talk about 1 week of stuff, and she will really have to commend Missy, because she really takes time to really focus on that and think about it and process it. And sometimes it doesn't come right away, and sometimes it comes, you know, eventually. But that's what's so nice about being individualized and going at it at your pace, because once you force it, force negates. So you want to put your energy where so it flows forward towards you.
Right.
And so anyway, thank you very much, Missy, for sharing that, your story and how you've benefited. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Cool.
I can't believe how quiet your call was.
I know.
You must have really been a mouthy one.
I know.
The last time.
I got a few emails
today.
You're
so polite.
I know. When Missy was on last fall, we had a few talkers. So that was fun too. And this group talks too. But I had a few emails telling me that they weren't going to be able to make it today. So, quiet class, and Yvonne gets all the attention today.
Yeah. Man, I would have taken advantage of that.
Cool. So thanks, Missy. I appreciate it. And I'm just going to conclude the call and save some of these questions that the other ladies had asked, because I was reading them, and I have a few more questions I would like to ask to get a little bit more clarification to really fully answer your question. So we will just hold that off until next week, and next week will be our last day. Unbelievable. So one more point is, FYI, for everyone that took this week, this course this winter, the next time I offer this course, you are able to come and do it for free. Missy has had options to, you have to sign up, but Missy's had options to just listen in on the audios. Jen, who was on the call a few times, she's one that took it last fall and wanted a refresher just to keep her momentum going, and she felt stuck in a few areas, and this, again, allowed her to just work through those sticky points and progress. So I might have Jen share her story of just coming in on the call and listening to the audios next week. But just want to FYI for everybody that when you do the live course, you also will always be able to do this course free from now on if you choose to. Also, for one-on-one coaching, you get discounts. You just need to call me, set up a consult. We'll go over which is best for you, which program will be best for you, and that will all depend on which programs, what the pricing will be. So let me know if that's what you want so we can get you in the books for that. Next week I'll go over the questions and also a few other items as well, and we will call it a day. So I hope everyone has a fantastic week and you are enjoying yourself thoroughly and improving and continuing to lead your lives in a healthy, successful way. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.